Unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Physician and the Sorcerer, was written by Alan Marcus. Featured as Samuel is Roger DeCoven.
My name is Samuel. I was born long ago in a time no one now remembers, in a remarkable kingdom beyond the farthest line of parallel. I have a question to ask. Do you ever think of the world as a cave, an unlit place where the weak are trampled, a vein of darkness? I ask you this because once I knew a man who thought the same thing. It all happened long ago, back in the days when I was serving as physician to the Emperor Naaman, in the kingdom beyond the farthest line of parallel. I think his story may interest you a little, because in a way it is your story. But listen, and then you can decide for yourselves. In those days, in the kingdom beyond all lines of parallel, life was very good. The Emperor Naaman was a kind man, although at times absent-minded. And his subjects were thrice blessed. They had good harvests, good health, and good hearts. I myself lived simply near the edge of the city, with my wife Anna, my two sons Raphael and Levi, and my goat Ezekiel. My story begins one morning when my wife said,
Now, Samuel, you won't forget.
Forget, Anna?
There, you see, you've forgotten already. Remember what you promised last night. Remember what we talked about?
Last night, we talked about Raphael and Levi and the new dress you're going to get and...
Samuel, what did the king tell you a few days ago? What did he ask you to do?
The king? Well, now I remember.
What did he ask you to do?
He wanted me to be on time in the mornings. He wanted me to stop wandering in so late in the day.
Uh-huh. And what did you promise last night?
Don't worry, Anna, I remember. I promised you I'd get to the palace on time from now on, and I will. There's no difficulty in that. Just let me find where I put my hat, and I'll be off without delay.
Samuel, dear, you're wearing your hat.
What? Oh, yes, that's right. So I am. Must have put it on while I was talking. I'll be home at the usual time tonight.
Goodbye, dear. Please remember, don't stop anywhere. Go straight to the palace.
Will he be all right now, Dr. Samuel?
I think the splint on his leg will hold until he gets home. But remember, no running or trotting for at least 2 months. We have to give the leg a chance to set. Can't work a lame horse and expect him to get well.
Yes, sir, I'll remember.
The way some people treat animals. I tell you, it's so easy to forget that a horse is just like...
What's the matter, Dr. Samuel?
Forget. I said forget, didn't I? Quick, boy, what time is it?
It's almost noon, Dr. Samuel.
Noon? I completely forgot. I'll have to run. But remember, boy, do just as I told you. He'll be all right.
But, Dr. Samuel, wait. Dr. Samuel, sir, you've forgotten your hat.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
Morning. Did you say morning? I was just about to have my lunch.
I know I'm late, sire, but you see, I was held up. There was a horse with a lame foot.
If it's not a horse, it's a goat. And if it's not a goat, it's something else. Are you the court physician, or are you general overseer of accidents of animals?
I'm sorry, sire.
Oh, well, never mind. You cure everyone else, but who's to cure you? just lucky there was someone else here to help me when my gout started to act up this morning.
Someone else, sir?
There I was suffering agonies with that bumbling Dr. Amos fussing about, and you nowhere to be found. And then this complete stranger walked in through the palace gates and did what no one else could do. Stopped the pain just like that. Marvelous. Almost as good as you yourself. Samuel, I want you to meet the man who saved my life this morning.
His Majesty enthrones me with kindness.
I want you to meet Nabal from the lands beyond the mountains. Nabal, my court physician, Samuel.
Why, are you a physician yourself, sir?
I am more than a physician. I am what men call a sorcerer. A physician only heals the sick, but I am acquainted with the skills which can unhinge the mind and deliver blight to the enemies of my friends.
All I know is he stopped my gout from paining just like that, Samuel. Wonderful.
For gout, I usually use a heated solution of vegetable herbs and water to relieve pain. Is your remedy based on the same ingredients, Nabal?
My remedies remain my own private property, physician. Does a gladiator disclose his methods to his competitor?
Competitor? But who is competing? We're no competitors, you and I.
Your Majesty, I cannot help but agree with this physician. If he would rather treat horses than kings...
But I didn't say that I'd rather treat horses.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, what are we arguing for? After all, my gout is all right now, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Besides, it's time for lunch. Samuel, what are you staring at? Aren't you coming to dine with us?
He was staring at me, Your Excellency. I fear your physician has mistaken me for a horse.
I'm not hungry at the moment, sire. I beg you excuse me today. I have a slight headache.
When he found you there on time for a change this morning, I'll wager he probably got...
Anna, I stopped to heal a lame horse this morning. I was late again.
Late again? Oh, Samuel, you promised.
I know, Anna, but the horse was lame. He was in pain. Someone had to do something. Anyway, as it turned out, the king didn't need me this morning after all.
Didn't need you? What is it, Samuel?
Well, there was a stranger in the court this morning, a man from the lands beyond the mountains. His name is Nabal, calls himself a sorcerer. King seemed very taken with him.
But what's a stranger got to do with you? I don't understand.
We were together all afternoon, and he kept amusing the king with feats of magic, but all the time he kept watching me with a peculiar light in his eyes. Of course, the whole thing is preposterous, but yet I kept feeling that Nabal was measuring me. He was trying to discover my weaknesses, Anna, and what reason would he have for doing that unless...
Unless what, Samuel?
Unless he intended to do me harm of some kind.
As soon as I said it, I knew it was absurd. I, Samuel, had no enemies. I'd never acted with malice toward any citizen. Why should an absolute stranger come to me with hate? What reason could there be for him to wish me injury? I decided I'd only been imagining things. It was all a fantasy. No one was in a more secure position, after all, than I. And yet, very soon afterwards, peculiar things began happening.
Well, Samuel, is this your idea of a joke?
A joke, sire?
Don't pretend you don't know anything about it. I ask you for liniment for a sore ankle, and when I put it on, what happens? It almost burns my foot off. If Nabal hadn't been around to help me, I might have been up all night with the pain.
But, Your Excellency...
If Your Majesty permits, may I have a look at the bottle of liniment? Sire, this is liniment, all right, but not for royal feet. It's horse liniment.
But that can't be true. I'm sure I didn't mix the medicines. All my bottles are labeled.
I don't want to hear any excuses, Samuel. I've told you 1,000 times you're hired to treat me, not anyone else.
But, sire, I swear this is not my bottle.
Samuel, are you adding falsehood to negligence? Let this be an end to it. And in the future, remember, be more careful. And I'm expecting my Prime Minister. Both of you can consider yourselves excused.
As Your Excellency wishes. Coming, Samuel?
Wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?
What's the matter, guard? Don't you recognize me? I'm Dr. Samuel.
Oh, Dr. Samuel, please excuse me, sir. We got new orders last night to increase the guard. The king's in a terrible temper. Says there's a conspiracy to do away with him. Wants all visitors searched. Won't go out of the throne room.
Conspiracy? But who?
Don't ask me, sir. All I know is the captain of the guard was called in this morning. The king gave him strict orders. It all started with a dream the king had, and then when he learned what it meant, he got in a terrible rage. Seems there's a stranger the king has living in the palace that can read dreams and...
You mean the one called Nabal?
That's the name, sir. He's the one. But say, how'd you know?
A pretty sight, isn't it, Samuel?
Mayor Joshua, but what are you doing? I didn't expect to find you here.
Why not? Isn't it a mayor's duty to inspect all new buildings that go up in his city? So that's what a gallows looks like. I thought they were bigger. Tell me, Samuel, who's to be hanged?
I don't know, Joshua. No one seems to know.
You used to be close to the king, Samuel. What's happened lately? I can't even get in to see him. Me, the mayor, whom he appointed himself. And the new taxes he's levied. All day long, citizens have come crying to me. You know yourself, Samuel, they can't pay what the proclamations demand. This business of insulting the foreign ambassadors. We've always had friendly relations with other countries. There's been no need for border guards before. Now this gallows. Here in a city where no one even knew what a gallows looked like. What's it all about, Samuel? What's happened to the king?
I don't know, Joshua, but I'm going to try to find out. Please excuse me, I've already delayed too long. I have to talk to someone right now.
Come in. Well, Samuel, I've been expecting you. Can I get you some wine?
Nothing, thank you.
How do you like my quarters here, Samuel? Nothing too fancy, but then I'm not finished with it yet.
Nabal, I want to ask...
Don't tell me, Samuel, let me guess. You're very concerned about the way things are going. You think these new measures which the king has ordered are too strict. You think I'm behind it all. You're going to ask me to do something about it, and you're even prepared, if necessary, to use such words as justice and honor. Am I right?
What do you want here, Nabal?
What? Oh, nothing, Samuel. I came all this way across the mountains just to be a teller of fortunes. What do you think I want? I have lived long enough to learn that the world is a cave, Samuel, in which one has to claw one's way to the higher places. Anybody who denies it is either a fool or a saint, or suffering from the disease of compassion.
This kingdom has managed to flourish, Nabal, in spite of the prevalence of this so-called disease.
Flourish? You call this flourishing? Look at the forests all uncut. Look at the natural wealth that no one bothers about. The ore, the gold, the silver in the mountains. Look at the markets for goods that no one takes the trouble to develop. And the lands beyond the sea and the mountains full of 1,000 riches to be gotten for the asking, and no one seems to care. The people are ignorant, uneducated. They'd rather sit in the sun than work at increasing production. What kind of a flourishing country is it where people would just as soon give something away as sell it? Look at yourself. Position to the emperor, and yet what do you care about more than your job? A lame horse. You're as bad as everyone else here. Flourishing? I advise you to wait a while. You will see such flourishing as you have never dreamed of.
Nabal, I think we'd better not talk anymore. I'm going to the king.
To the king? Good. As a matter of fact, the king's been looking for you all day. He told me to bring you to him.
Nabal, if this is another one of your maneuvers...
Come along, Samuel. We can't keep the king waiting. Your Majesty, here is the physician. He came to see me, but I haven't told him.
Told me what? Sire, I don't understand.
Silence, Samuel. What do you think should be done, Nabal?
Perhaps if he were confronted with the facts, sire.
Listen, physician. I've had a very bad dream recently. It was very mysterious, full of strange terrors, and I was at a loss until Nabal explained it to me. It seems the dream was really about you.
About me, sire?
It seems you're plotting to poison me one of these fine days. It seems that being caught, physician, doesn't satisfy you. It seems that all these mistakes you've been making lately with the wrong medicines turning up have just been a pretense to furnish an excuse for what might accidentally happen.
But, Your Majesty, this is unbelievable. You know how faithful I have been for 7 years. When your son was sick, I brought him to life again. Why should I want to do such a thing?
I told you he'd deny it, sire.
I do not forget the saving of a life, Samuel. That is why I've decided to decree only the sentence of exile.
Exile? I beg you, listen to me, Your Majesty.
All this is the doing of Nabal, who only wants himself. What you accuse me of wanting. Before he came here, there was peace in the court and quiet in the city. I ask you to remember, have you ever known rebellion in all the years it has been my pleasure to serve your majesty? Has anyone ever talked of poisons? Only since Nabal came. Only since he's been able to spread suspicion in the court.
Exactly as I predicted, sire. He blames it all on me.
Of course, what he says is true, Nabal. Because of him, my son is alive. And it was only after your coming that all these things have come to pass.
I swear, your majesty, these accusations of lies.
Your majesty, I can prove to you that I am right. Samuel accuses me of his own crime. Very well, what is that crime? An attempt to poison your majesty. Then the matter is clear. Let there be a contest between Samuel and myself with your majesty as judge. We will see who is victor. And since the crime is based on an attempt to poison your highness, I propose a contest of poisons, in which he who survives will receive the honor of ministering to your royal highness, King Naaman. We will discover whether I am protecting the king or not.
A poison contest?
No, this is outrageous. I can never consent to such a thing.
Why not, Samuel? You accuse me of lying, do you not? And if you are right, the gods you pray to should protect you. You talk of justice very well. Your justice should reveal the guilty one, should it not? What is there amiss?
I'm being forced into this. It is a crime against myself to engage in such a thing. I cannot. I refuse.
Samuel, no one forces you into anything. I am the king here. But as king, I must decree that if you fail to engage in such a contest, I shall have to assume admission of guilt, and then I shall have no other choice but to carry out the original sentence of exile. This seems to me to be fair.
But listen, your majesty.
What's the matter, Samuel? Isn't justice on your side, after all? Or perhaps you want to make a clean breast of it before you go.
What were you going to say, physician?
Your majesty, I'm left no recourse. I shall have to consent.
Now, are the rules clear? Both of you will present yourselves here each morning to drink from the other's cup. Then you will be free to attempt your own antidote. If both of you are successful, we will meet here again the following morning. Any questions?
Sire, I have something to say to Nabal before we begin.
What is it? Changing your mind?
I don't understand the manner of man you are, Nabal, or why you have caused all this to occur. That is something for you to know. But to me, you are still a man, and I cannot use a life as forfeit. I have always been a physician, a healer of lives. Therefore, I wish to announce that I have prepared no poison. In my wine glass, there is only water.
Is that all?
I have said what must be said.
What is it, Nabal? Why are you laughing?
This fool thinks that I'm dunce enough to fall for such speeches. What does he take me for? One of his horses? In my wine glass, that is only water. The water of the devil, he means. But don't worry, Your Majesty. He won't catch me with any such childish ruses.
But, Nabal, it's true. There's only water in this glass.
Your Majesty, let the contest begin. I am ready. Here is my cup.
Are you ready, Samuel?
Sire, I... Yes, sir. I'm ready.
All right. Raise cups in the air. At the count of three, touch cups and drink. Ready? One, two, three. Finished, Samuel?
Yes, sir.
Nabal?
Your Majesty, I must be allowed to leave immediately to prepare my antidote. This poison is of a special kind.
Very well. You are both dismissed until tomorrow morning. But remember, I expect you to be here promptly.
Samuel, how do you feel?
I feel fine, Anna. Why shouldn't I feel fine?
No ill effects?
Anna, there's no reason at all to worry. Believe me, there isn't.
Oh, I know. Samuel, you're the best chemist in the kingdom. There's no reason to worry. Samuel, here, where my finger marks the place on this page, I want you to read.
But I don't understand, Anna. Why?
Please, Samuel, just read.
He that followeth after righteousness findeth life.
Read it once more.
He that followeth after righteousness findeth life.
I'm not really worried, Samuel. I'm not really worried at all.
All right, gentlemen, raise glasses. One, two, three.
Nabel, are you all right? You look pale.
Never mind about me, physician. Look to yourself. Your luck will run out soon. Are you sure you're all right, Nabel?
I'd better get him a chair, sire.
Stay away from me. Don't come near me. You think you're pretty clever. With these poisons of yours, I'll show you.
But it's only water,
Nabel. Only water? Wait until you drink the water. I'm going to prepare for tomorrow. Wait.
Nabel, you smashed the wine glass. Why?
But I drank the poison, didn't I, sire? He can't kill me, can he? All his devil poisons. I've got the worst of them. I'm still here. Still here.
Nabel, watch yourself. You almost fell just then.
For 21 days, the drinking went on. I could hardly believe it. My wife is a witness. All that Nabel ever had to drink was water in a wine glass. Yet, this was the way it was. He became weaker and weaker. His face turned deathly pale. He even refused to eat any food, saying it was poison. And then finally, one day...
Samuel, sit down.
But where is Nabel, Your Majesty?
There will be no more contest, Samuel. The contest is over. Last night, Nabel called me in and made a complete confession. He pleaded with me to have you give him the antidote for your poison.
Your Majesty, there never was any poison in my wine glass. All that I ever put in was water. And if Nabel is poisoned, then the poison comes from the same place as its antidote must. And I think I begin to understand where. Once Nabel told me the world is a cave, and I disbelieved him. But I was wrong. The shape of the world is formed within the borders of the separate heart. If Nabel is sick, then the sickness has come from a cave, from an absence of light and ventilation, from expecting darkness because one lives in darkness.
Go on, Samuel, I'm listening.
Sire, let me help Nabel discover his antidote. I said the shape of the world is formed within the borders of the heart, but all worlds constantly touch. I am in contact with Your Majesty, who is in contact with someone else. The chain is endless. And this is what I think, Your Majesty, that no link is ever immune. As long as one man's heart is a cave, everyone lives in shadow. If I can help Nabel, the image in his own heart may change. It has to change. For that is the antidote, sire. Don't you see? That is the antidote.
Come. We haven't too much time.
Come? But where?
To Nabel. Where else? Do you think a king's eyes cannot finally open? Come. It is late already.
I could go on, of course, and tell you how we sat by Nabel's bed, how we first had to drink ourselves before he would drink anything, and how little by little we let the light in. But there is no need. Although it happened long ago in a kingdom beyond the farthest mine of parallel, it has happened many times before and many times after. And it happens today. There are some things which do not change. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, the 21st verse. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And so it is. So it is.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Samuel Rothstein, President of the United Synagogue of America. Mr. Rothstein.
The theme of the script to which we have just listened is summed up in the words from the book of Proverbs. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. The lesson which Samuel the physician teaches us in today's story can be taken to heart by men of all faiths and in all stations of life throughout the entire world. It should be impressed upon governments as well as men. There may be some who question whether those who practice justice and honesty and kindness in their daily lives are rewarded for such attributes with prosperity and honor as the proverb indicates. The true meaning of the story and of the proverb is not to reward them with material things. They receive their reward by having peace of mind and heart and love of life itself. Or to paraphrase what Samuel said to King Naaman, the kind of world we live in depends on the acts of the heart of its inhabitants. How wonderful it would be if men of all faiths and creeds and in all lands, especially the leaders of the nations of the world, would take this lesson to heart and live righteous, merciful, and honorable lives. This verse also sums up the philosophy of the truly religious person. It is in itself a program for living that each of us must sooner or later heed. Although religious and lay leaders of the organized religions are dedicated to the ideals of righteousness and mercy in their dealings with their fellow men, their efforts should be directed towards constantly reminding the men and women of their folds that righteous living must be the goal towards which mankind must aspire. If we live that kind of life, it will not only bring peace of heart and mind to the individual, but it will also bring freedom and peace to the entire world. Surely, no more important message can be delivered in this day and in this age.
Thank you, Mr. Rothstein. Eternal Light drama today, The Physician and the Sorcerer, was written by Alan Marcus. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Cadens. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction, and featured as Samuel was Roger DeCoven. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This program came to you from Radio City in New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.